This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, well, well. Came in today and thought I had everything all figured out. I take one look at Sam, swing and a miss.
Sometimes the news cycle disagrees with your I've got everything figured out.
I know. Damn it, I wanted to talk about Scott Peterson today. We'll get to that later. But welcome on into Dana and Park. Scott will be back on Monday. We are thrilled to have Cody Tapp sitting in with 96.5 The Fan. You heard Put Me in Coach, one of the most overplayed baseball songs in the history of music, Cody.
You're welcome.
Lead us into the conversation today because, Sam, there has been a flurry of activity in the last couple of hours with respect to Frank White, property tax assessments. I think the stadium talk has to be folded in here, which is why we've brought Cody in studio to help us dissect some of that. And then we have a live guest in the 3 o'clock hour to break down what has happened.
Actually coming up here at 2:15.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Thank you.
So Sean Smith will be joining us at 2:15. He and two other county legislators sent a petition to Attorney General Andrew Bailey to investigate the work of Jackson County Executive Frank White. And according to their allegations, they're not wanting him to investigate the work, more so investigate the not work.
They are the alleging lack of work.
Exactly.
Yes.
They are alleging that he is in violation of his duties as county executive, claiming that he's not been showing up to meetings. He's been misusing county funding. And then, of course, we've heard endlessly about this property tax debacle.
Okay, so at 2:15, we will have Jackson County Legislator Sean Smith on. It's the 3 o'clock hour. There's supposed to be a presser about this.
Correct.
There has been a flurry of activity here. Cody, you're in here with me. We're going to break that. There's four allegations.
Yes.
Let's start with number one. Allegation number one. They're trying to oust Frank White from office here.
And I don't think it's like... I do not think it's crazy to say that a huge impetus behind, not just because they don't get along and there's been a number of problems, the property tax thing probably kicked it off. But in anybody you talk to, let's be honest with you, Kansas City baseball in downtown in Jackson County, to my understanding, is all but dead unless Frank White is not at the helm anymore.
Right.
So I think that this is like a big kicker for why they want to do it. There are four allegations. One is that he just doesn't show up. Right. Pretty simple. Guy misses. He coaches for the Monarchs. He's not showing up to the job. He misses a bunch of meetings. They don't know where he is.
I want to talk about that. A lot of people might not know that, but in the petition, it states it is widely known that Frank White holds a position as coach for the Kansas City Monarchs, saying his role with the minor league baseball team consumes a, quote, significant amount of his time, according to the petition, rendering him unable to fulfill his duties.
And that he did not meet the mandatory required amount of these meetings he's required to attend as an elected official to be a part of it.
From May 2024 to April 2025. So his absences are easy to prove. Was he there or was he not? They're saying he's not.
Yeah.
That's allegation number one.
Allegation number two is that he failed to provide required budgetary information to the legislature. So they're offered budget documents, plans on how they're going to spend those numbers, any available numbers. They're claiming he just didn't provide those things, even though that is a portion of his job. Quote, it defies the reason that the legislator would be asked to approve a 2025 budget without accurate information for the prior year, saying that he did not provide any budgetary numbers for 2023 or 2024.
So allegations two and three are what I'm going to call secretarial.
Yeah.
They are basically, and we're not even going to get into the weeds of two and three, because one is important. He's not there because of the Kansas City Monarchs. And I think four is important, which gets us back to not complying with everyone telling him you have to send the valuation to property owners. That wasn't done. He's refusing to write that, saying all of the money's already been spent. So four really gets into the property tax debacle. Nowhere in here do we see, and also he is the one person blocking any progress with the stadiums.
Yes.
So behind the scenes,
they don't like each other. Everybody knows that.
They do not. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yes. I think that that's fair. And look, they don't. There has been consistent battle between them. The fact that it had to go to a public vote that they got beat pretty handily on is because they couldn't work it out just amongst themselves to try to avoid that. And that's because Frank White holds pretty strong grudges against a lot of those people. But now, once you started getting into action three of the four allegations, Dana, yeah. I think this is where you start running into, now he's making his coworkers mad. So the previous ones are like, you're not showing up, you're not doing the job. And now it's like, you're ignoring the will of the people, essentially, because action three is that he did not disperse funds properly based on the budget because they approved a budget, 5-4. He then vetoed it, and there's legal questioning about whether he was allowed to veto it because it's a budget thing. It's not related to salary. So now in county code, they're saying, we don't even think he shouldn't have been able to do this, and he's doing it anyway. The same thing as the stadiums. He loves to just hold this whole thing up and then just do what he wants, right, not what the group of people want.
And so, you know, one of the things we're going to ask Sean Smith here in a few minutes, Sam, we talked about this out in the newsroom, is what precedence is there for just ousting a Jackson County executive? And there is. It's a fancy Latin word.
It's called quo warranto. You remember all of the scandals that went on with the Ray County Sheriff. I think it was Scott Childers.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was ousted from his position through a quo warranto filing, which is effectively the attorney general has identified malfeasance, claims that he has evidence of malfeasance, and will file this petition for them to be ousted from their position based on that malfeasance. It goes to a judge. The judge can agree or disagree. If the judge agrees, they are then removed from that.
So then I bounce this right back to Cody. What is the timeline? We've got two separate conversations here, and they're both important. You know, we'll ask Sean Smith this. Will the Jackson County taxpayers ever see their money again? Will they get their money back? I don't even know how we begin to have that conversation. But more importantly, in the interim, while all this is going on, how much time do the teams have? How much time does the fans, I mean, what is the timeline?
So if you want downtown baseball, if you want them to stay in Jackson County, Royals or Chiefs, both have given timelines of the summer. June or July has consistently been the message out of John Sherman starting opening day, a few days before opening day. Last time I asked about a revised timeline, that was still the timeline they were giving inside of that. If you missed the news earlier last week, Clay County has clearly come back into the fold for the Royal Stadium as a very, I think, very real contender for the Royal Stadium as a result of this. Jackson County feels the pinch. Like Missouri is feeling the pinch. They're worried about losing both teams.
They're worried about losing the Chiefs to Kansas.
Yeah, they're worried about losing the Chiefs to Kansas and losing the Royals to, not Missouri, so like still okay, but out of Jackson County and instead on the Clay side of things or in some other part or to Kansas too, right? At least on that end. So
it's billions.
They got like 2 months to figure this out.
$6-8 million. It's billions. And the future of what this town looks like
is being held up. And sometimes we're hyperbolic. I think all of this has been held up by Frank White. And then in the middle of it, he couldn't even handle that part or try to handle the grievances because he handled one of the biggest tax scandals in Jackson County's history when his tax rate on his house went down and across the board, everyone else's went way the hell up and he was pricing people out of their homes and all this stuff. And then it happened that they've capped it at now 15%. Now he did that proactively because he was going to get in more trouble, I think, as a result of how this was going. And so, yeah, I think Frank White, this will just prove to you, and this happened on like the Missouri sports wagering and happens on Kansas sports wagering and all this stuff. One person, if you're in enough power, can really get in the way politically. I mean, they can really hold some stuff up if they want to. And I think that that's what's happening to Frank White. And I think now that the council's just had enough. That's why they're trying to get him to look at it. And I don't know how much support Frank's got from Bailey and others, but
how interesting is it for you guys that this is the intersection of politics and sports in a way that in our lifetime, we have not really seen anything of this magnitude.
No, it's been, I think, I don't know. I still wonder, like, it's very weird because, like, even on our show, we talk so little politics and everything, but, like, around Missouri and Kansas sports wagering. So, like, in Missouri.
Yeah.
You could have sports wagering as early as, they were talking, like, 4th of July at first.
Yeah.
But the person who didn't want sports wagering because he wanted his own version of sports wagering has pushed it all the way to November because he has the power to do so. And then on the Kansas side, they've now drawn back the ability to negotiate contracts because of other people. You know, like, it's such a mess and it's such a weird cross-section. Frank White has got to go down as one of the weirdest public figures ever. He's an all-time Royals legend. He was a Royals broadcaster. He's a beloved player. He has a statue at Kauffman Stadium.
Would have had a 100% approval rating prior to all of this. Prior to public office, if you had asked anyone about his name around town, hero, but legend.
But it's kind of hard. Like, it's hard to say outside of, like, his time in public office has been, I would say, messy at best. Remember in the beginning, there was the money he was taking in for personal loans around bankruptcy and how that related to his role and now this tax thing and now this stadium stuff. Like, it's been mired in controversy. I'm actually kind of surprised, you want to be honest, that it's taken this long for the council to call a vote or, you know, ask, not call a vote, but ask for an investigation.
You know, someone said, what's that word? Quo warranto? Let's do that. 913-586-7798. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we will hear from one of the legislators at the head of this petition to the Attorney General's office straight ahead on Dana and Parks. All right, let's get right to it. Dana Wright here. Scott will be back on Monday. We are thrilled to have Cody Tapp sitting in with us with 96.5 The Fan, because you cannot have this discussion about what's happening with Frank White, the recall petition signatures today, and now this call for an investigation into what has gone on at the county executive level. You cannot have that conversation without a sports conversation with respect to the stadiums. We are thrilled to welcome in one of the three legislators, Sean Smith, who is behind this push to get the Missouri Attorney General to investigate Frank White. Sean, welcome on into the program. We are thrilled to have you.
Good afternoon. Great to be on with you.
Well, we have so many questions, but let's start with the timeline. Like, how does this work once you guys have made the ask? You have laid out four violations. And then what does the timeline look like for the Attorney General to look at this and make some sort of decision?
Yeah, I will tell you, I hate that I have to say this on the first question, but I really don't know. My hope is that there will be a prompt action by the Attorney General. What does that look like and how fast can it happen? I'm out of my depth at that point. I really don't know. I think it's urgent. I was listening in before you guys went away to break. I heard you talking about which of the points is most important. For me, the urgency associated with this property assessment, given that we're potentially going to screw up 2025, again, if we don't comply with the state tax commission order, is extremely urgent.
So that would be allegation number four out of the four allegations. We'll get back to that. Can we start with allegation number one? Because that seems the easiest to prove, whether or not he was present as required under the charter for some of these meetings and votes. That's easy to prove. He was either there or he was not.
Yeah, I will correct one thing is I don't think he's mandated to be at meetings. He has the opportunity to be there. To me, the key point there is that not only does he not show up, but when his chief of staff every week is asked about his whereabouts, the answer is that the chief of staff doesn't know where our county executive is week after week after week. That would seem to imply that he's not fulfilling his duties to work and dedicate himself full time to the office.
Do all four of these allegations have to be proven, or could any one of them lead to some sort of ouster?
Yeah, I think that any one of them could be cause enough for the Attorney General to seek his removal or other disciplinary measures that might be appropriate. In the case of the St. Louis prosecutor who was removed, she was taking nursing classes rather than working full time as her prosecutor duties required, and
really?
I believe that was one of the chief allegations that caused her removal. So I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know all the ins and outs. I know the facts that I observed and that they don't seem to comply with county and state laws. So that's why I was letting the AG know.
I want to ask you, Sean, about the sports end of this here in just a second. But like you mentioned, allegation four as it relates to the property taxes. When it comes to Jackson County residents or the people that had to go through the property tax stuff, if you guys don't get in line with it, what does that mean for the people who live in Jackson County?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think at the worst, most catastrophic level, we could see things have to get resolved through a series of civil suits. Where the county would be sued on behalf of taxpayers who were overbilled. And why I say that's the most catastrophic is because it's going to take the longest.
Yeah.
And the delays with resolving these property tax issues, almost every week I get a new email from a homeowner who has depleted their savings and doesn't know where their next mortgage payment's coming from. And it's a mortgage payment that went up because of an unlawful assessment.
Sean, what breaks my heart is we've talked about this at length on this program. The money that was given to the schools and other entities through the what I believe illegal property tax assessment of the homeowners, that money's already been spent. So I don't know how you make this right. It is really truly a legal nightmare.
Yeah, it is. There are actually provisions in state law already to allow us to make it right over a period of time. So we could, for example, do the rollback, recalculate what people should have paid in 23 and 24, and then put that amount on their accounts as though they've paid in advance.
Like a credit.
A credit for 25, 26, 27. And so part of the solution is to let that play out over a series of years for those homeowners who can afford to wait. And there are many that will fall into that category. And a piece of legislation that I'll be introducing soon also suggests that part of the solution is to take some of the money that we have as a county in our unreserved balances and offer that up as a way to handle some of the people who are in urgent crisis.
Yes.
And so instead of waiting for a credit over a period of 3 years, if you can't afford your mortgage today, we get you your money back now, but that would be a little bit of an application process. We did something similar for renters during COVID. And understand, we're not spending an extra $40 million that way. We're just getting that money to the people that were going to get it back with those multi-year credits faster and only for those who really need it more urgently.
Look, I'm asking you to guess at the opinion of somebody else in a lot of ways, but why wouldn't or why do you think Frank White wants to defy the compliance or STC order as you guys see it? Why would he not want to get in line with these orders?
Yeah. I've worked in this county legislature now for a little over 2 years. I've met with Frank on a very limited number of times. I really don't have a lot of insight into his thought process, to be honest with you. I wish I had a better answer for you, but it's a mystery to me, too. I really don't know.
We have seen some precedent with the Missouri Attorney General removing other elected officials, one of them being the sheriff of Ray County. Can you sort of explain without, I know you're not a lawyer, but what is this quo warranto and what do our listeners need to know about it?
Yeah, so it's a court action that can be initiated by the Attorney General and has been when somebody's really not fulfilling the duties of their office or is engaged in malfeasance in their professional capacity. And I know in the lead up to this, you kind of said that number two and number three were kind of more minor and ministerial.
Or administrative, yes.
Yeah. I tell you, spending money, taxpayer money, that hasn't been legally appropriated to me, and I gave one small example in that letter of $5,000, but to me, that's arguably the most egregious thing. We know we're not allowed to spend taxpayer money without it having all the proper approvals. And for him to basically wipe out the controls that would stop that from happening by uploading the wrong budget and directing his staff to do that, to me, that one's maybe the most egregious and possibly even criminal.
And Sean, that leads me to my next question. We were talking about this off the air. Is it possible this is one of the first major cases in our area where voters are starting to really understand how much power some of our elected leaders have. And I'm not saying they were uneducated when they voted for Frank White. They knew the name. But I don't know that everyone really understood the power that one office holder has, with not just with respect to the property taxes, but with what's going on with the stadiums.
Yeah, I agree completely. I'll say this. I'm a little bit of a government nerd. Even before I was elected to office, I tried to follow things really carefully. And I would have not even come close to understanding how disproportionately powerful our county executive is. It's an area where we need to think about some reforms to our charter as well. But for now, we need somebody in there that's focused on getting the job done, wants to work collaboratively with the legislature, wants to follow all the appropriate state statutes, and respond positively when our state supervisors, like the STC, require us to do things.
I know that, like, from a sports end, it absolutely felt like Frank White was in the middle of the Royals side of things, certainly the Chiefs side of things, the teams, and some of the requests seemed unreasonable in the early going. So now part of us, like on my end, I feel like some of this might have something to do with the stadiums, in the sense that there seems to be, in the people I talk to, a public idea that getting the stadiums done in Jackson County is not plausible with Frank White at the helm. Do you feel that way?
I would say that, take Frank out of it and say any county executive who's got this much that he's embroiled in where he doesn't seem to want to follow the law, that's going to be a huge distraction. And it's going to make, I would think, teams reluctant to come to the table and really engage in a meaningful negotiation. So I know there's rumors that Frank and the team had a longstanding dispute. As far as I know, none of the people from the team are even around anymore that he had issues with.
Right.
So I don't know that that's the case. For me, the stadium thing certainly would be a challenge for anybody to be negotiating with the teams while they're embattled in all this other stuff, which frankly seems to be a series of unforced errors that he's made to me.
When you look at, like, the way, I guess, the unforced errors part of it, you'd mentioned, like, he's not showing up to as many meetings. Do you feel like he's been actively still part of the Royal, or is it still the same story where they made it sound like he was kind of cut out, so he might not be a part of these negotiations anymore anyway?
Yeah, so what we've heard through his chief of staff is that there's some sort of confidentiality agreement. Normally, we could go into closed session and we could learn about the details of what's going on, and the administration's denied us as a legislative body that opportunity. I think that's probably improper too, but it's vague enough that I didn't want to make that one of the issues in this particular letter. But bottom line is, I don't really know if anything's happening.
And Sean, I'm so sorry we were up against the break when I cut you off there. We're going to come back to that last sentence. I want to talk about that balance of power. He mentioned the charter. And ask our listeners about that when we come back. 913-586-7798. Our huge thanks to Jackson County Legislator Sean Smith on what is a really historic day here in our town. We are back with much more straight ahead. All right, welcome on back. Huge, huge thanks to Jackson County Legislator Sean Smith for joining us. In fairness to him, he answered every single one of our questions, except the only one he didn't know the answer to, which is what everybody wants to know here. What is the timeline?
Yeah, could Frank be out of a job today, next week, a month?
That's an AG question. And I had forgotten about the St. Louis prosecutor. I knew that she was incredibly unpopular with some. I knew there was infighting between that office and the police department. I did not remember that it was because she was taking nursing classes that they invoked that rule.
Was she quo warrantoed as well?
She was quo warrantoed.
Why is that so hard to say?
It
sounds like a Star Wars villain.
It does. Quo warrantoed. I urge everyone to use that in a sentence with their teenager tonight.
Yeah.
Don't make me quo warrantoed you.
Which means make you disappear because we don't like what you're doing.
So you had said, Cody, for downtown ball conversations, June or July.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. Summer.
The attorney general's office would have to know that, number one, because of the property tax issue, that clock is ticking. People are losing their homes. I hope to God they can find out some sort of way through emergency channels to throw those taxpayers a lifeline who had their, you know, rug swept out from underneath them, but also the timeline of the stadiums. The AG's office has to know all of that's in play.
Couple that with the fact that Missouri legislature doesn't exactly have a good reputation for getting things done in a timely manner. The stadiums very much feel at risk in specifically Jackson County, but certainly Missouri and those areas. And like that goes back to what we said with him. I borderline, like over the last 2 years of following the same stuff, I'm blown away at how much power Frank White has. I had no, I mean, I lived in Jackson County for 20 years.
And didn't know.
I have voted. Frank.
You're like county executive.
I'm just like,
that's the budget person.
I'm just, and like, I pay a lot more attention to how I vote now, honestly. But I'm confident. I just like, well, he's winning again. What was it, like 80-20 last time? Sure, I remember Frank White for the Royals. Check.
I mean, he basically ran unopposed.
Yes.
That's what
the
Cody
entire time.
Yeah. During a break.
The entire time I lived in Jackson County, he pretty much ran unopposed. The other guy would have like four signs, and Frank White would have like helicopters running across with banners across the city. Like, it wasn't close. I didn't realize how much power the county executive office had. And like Sean Smith talking about that, the fact that he was like, I was a legislative nerd, and I didn't realize how much power they swung. That's like new information.
Well, and I want to clarify one thing. When I said that allegations 2 and 3 were secretarial, more administrative, I do not mean less in importance. I'm just trying for our listeners, the big flashing headline that is the easiest for everyone to grasp.
And prove.
And prove is attendance, which is what they invoked in ousting the prosecutor in St. Louis. And then number 4, which to me is the most urgent, because people are losing their homes.
Yeah. If you've got that big a problem going on right now, and he's not going to, and what he's Sean saying is, if we don't comply with the other two, what do we do with the tax year this year as it relates to their request? They could have a bigger problem, problem.
It would be a compounding violation. And he didn't quite get to it, but he mentioned it on the Jamie and Grayson show yesterday or the day before. I can't remember. There is currently a bill going through the Missouri legislature, House Bill 999, that would give the state the power to withhold county tax dollars, because those county tax dollars are not collected by the county. They're collected by the state.
Right.
And if they were to violate future orders from the state tax commission, House Bill 999 would give the state the power to say no money whatsoever until you comply.
Sam, one of the reasons we brought up the timeline, and I want you to both kind of weigh in on this discussion, is because the recall petition is the sort of second arm of what we're talking about today. That is separate from the three legislators who are asking the AG to step in. The recall petition signatures were presented today.
Or they will be presented at 3:30, officially filed.
And that's what the news conference is that we're going to take live. One of the things Dan Weinbaum came in and was talking about was like, let's look at that timeline. Because to me, the quickest way to get this done has to be through the AG's office.
Correct.
We've all been around for other recall petitions. You have you have to certify those results, recertify. Like if there's one person that actually accidentally signed the recall petition twice, they have to make sure the addresses match. Then that has to be submitted. Then you would have to move forward and recall him in that manner. That would be months, would it not?
It would be. But also, like, I think the reason why it stands out to me even more than that, and it would take a longer time than the AG. AG, I think, can act a lot faster
like
than
that. Like, wave a pen, maybe.
And if you look at some of the other stories, acted a lot faster in some of those cases. But the point, like, they're throwing everything, right? Like, they're kitchen sinking the problem.
Oh, absolutely.
They're saying one thing might not get this done.
So let's pick four.
Let's toss all of our stuff out here. Let's get a recall going. Let's reason why we think, like, let's try all of our avenues to get Frank White out of the Jackson County claim, you know, like out of that role. That's what it feels like. It just feels like they're trying everything.
And by the way, they have just enough signatures to certify the recall. So odds are, and I hate to say it, but odds are they're going to find just enough to deny.
To deny it.
They have to go back to the drawing board. But even if they did stick, even if they did have enough to initiate that recall process, if it were to happen quickly, it would have to be a special election. Special elections cost money. That money would have to come out of the county coffers, which would have to be then approved by the county legislators, which then could be, in theory, vetoed by the guy that they're trying to recall.
Correct.
How does that make any sense?
And Sam, I don't know that anyone has the
power
appetite.
Thing, it's
crazy. I don't know that anyone has the appetite now to even take $100,000 for a recall petition when some of that money could be used. That could help 10 homeowners that are in arrears and about to lose their... To me, the most urgent thing to take care of is preventing the loss of someone's home.
Well, it's the only, like, and this is the whole part where, like, I'm surprised Frank doesn't want to at least be
work
a part
them.
Of that, work
yes.
with them, because that's the thing that's going to get you, like, you say you've been running unopposed. If you take a bunch of people's houses
they're
away,
gonna
they're
going to run
out of town. Yeah, like, I don't know why you wouldn't want to comply with that.
And by the way, I did reach out to Frank White's office twice.
All right.
You get a 4-minute long voice message, and then it says, you cannot leave a voicemail. And then it starts the 4-minute long voice message over and over again.
I could give you a cell, but I don't think you're going to get an answer on that one.
Cody, I've called a cell before. It didn't go well.
Cody Tapp with 96.5 The Fan. Thank you. Thank you for sitting in with me. I'm going to quo warranto you as I invite everyone to use that term.
They say that when you go to heaven in Star Wars, you just raise above the clouds. That's what actually happened when Luke Skywalker like disappeared into dust. He was quo warantoed.
Warantoed. Use it in a sentence with your teenagers tonight, please. 913-586-7798. Huge thanks, Cody. See you soon. And we are back with much more straight ahead. Welcome on back into the program. Whoo, it has been a day. It has been a day, and we were only 51 minutes into the first hour.
We are cooking.
Stick around at 5 o'clock. KNBC9's Matt Fleener will join us to talk about an investigation he has coming up.
Are we getting Fleenered?
We are getting Fleenered at 5. And I'm going to talk to him, by the way, about that, because he's sort of become the guy that is known as the guy that sparked the wider discussion about cracking down on all of the trash around town. And it's not just Missouri. Kansas 69 Highway right now is a dump. And I told you, we traveled last week. We were in Georgia. We were in South Carolina. There was not a speck of debris on any highway that we traveled. There were signs saying, I think it was a $1,200 fine and jail if you are caught littering. And there, they clearly have some sort of topper on their hauling debris trucks.
I was in Nashville last October, and that was the first thing that I was looking for as we were driving around town, was trash on the highways. And, you know, Nashville is a wonderful town, but when I think of Nashville, I don't think Nashville's cleaner than Kansas City.
I don't either.
Spotless.
And then when you come back here, it looks worse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I drove by a bumper on the way in. I drove by a chair on the side of the highway. I mean, yeah.
I saw it. So we'll ask him about that. His investigation is actually about something different and very important. More than 100 deaths and injuries through restraint, sometimes illegal restraint, of those either being arrested and or incarcerated. And we'll talk to Matt about that in the 5 o'clock hour. On a lighter note, today is Fountain Day. Did you notice? It's a little gray outside today. But all of the fountains today will be turned on.
We have the second most fountains in the world within the city boundaries of Kansas City. Who beats us?
Is it Spain?
Rome.
Oh. Yeah, 200 fountains, 48 of them are publicly owned, which means a whole bunch of them are privately owned. Public celebration happened this afternoon at Mill Creek Park, started a few minutes ago. Fountains here date back to the late 1800s, and in 1973, the City of Fountains Foundation was established by a Hallmark executive, as well as his spouse, after the two took a trip to Italy and found many of the fountains in disrepair. I had no idea. Happy Fountain Day, everybody.
We have some very, very iconic ones. The Meyer Circle Fountain, the Paseo Fountain. You had mentioned Mill Creek Park. I think that's called the Dream Fountain now.
Yep.
We changed its name a couple years ago.
We are going to talk about this a little later in the program. We are very, very stacked today with stuff. But they have updated the health risks of the 8 food dyes that the FDA says they will now ban. And those health risks include cancer and behavioral issues. And you remember we mentioned this on the program yesterday afternoon. And one of the things that the policymakers were saying about this, kind of in between the lines,
right,
that banning the dyes is not going to solve all of the United States' behavioral issues and diagnoses in children, but it is a start.
But yeah, you will likely see a difference. Now, that difference will take a long time to go into effect.
Are they trying to say, Sam, that some of these dyes are, there is some sort of correlation to the heightened autism
ADHD,
risk and ADHD?
You name it. I know multiple people who have children who are on the spectrum who their doctor specifically told them to avoid Red Dye 40. One of them used to work for this very radio group.
So that's right. I absolutely remember that.
Yeah.
Red Dye number 3 has already been banned. There's some yellows in there. There's some blues in there. Blue number 1 is derived from petroleum, and it is what gives your M&Ms the blue hue.
Yep. A lot of it's in candies. There are certain chip companies that use a lot of these dyes, sodas.
Why have we allowed this for so long?
One answer, lobbyists.
Blue number 2, by the way, Skittles and blueberry Pop-Tarts.
I believe all of the 7 that they are trying to ban. The ban has not gone into effect yet. They are just putting out a big red flag advisory saying, stop using these.
Listen to this,
Sam. We're
going to
ban them.
Researchers in Poland in a 2021 study wrote, quote, this is in Poland, blue number 2 cannot be considered safe for human consumption. Mm-hmm. A lot of these dyes have petroleum in it.
Fun fact, drinking oil or eating oil is not good for the body. It's weird.
Citrus red number 2 is on here. It's used to color the peels of oranges, particularly those grown in Florida. Am I the only one that did not know we are using coloring to dye
oranges? Fruits and vegetables? Oh, absolutely. We've been doing it for a very long time because when you start mass producing those foods, they don't have the time to grow the way that they grow in nature. And so they don't look like they used to. And to make them more appetizing to the consumer so that you sell more on the shelf, they give them a richer color through dye.
Artificial green dye called Fast Green FCF is on the list. It is produced through chemical synthesis. It is found in canned peas and sherbet. It is banned in Europe and has been linked to a significant increase in bladder tumors in rats.
I believe all 7 that are on the list are banned in Europe and have been for quite some time. The studies from the FDA date back to the early 1990s.
Mountain Dew and Twinkies on the list for yellow dye number 5. What color is everything going to be now? Gray? I don't care.
Well,
I'd rather not drink petroleum.
We should go back to nature to get those colors like we used to.
913-586-7798. When we get back, what to do with a dangerous dog in the Northland and huge update in the Scott Peterson case. Wow. If you have not watched that documentary, please do. We will be talking about it at length this week. Back with more straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.